Good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here today for our worship gathering as God's people together here in this place. We've got people that are visiting. We're so happy that you're here. If you're looking for a church home, we want you to consider making this your church home. If you've got any questions, we want to be an open book. So we'd love to talk with you after the service. You can talk with me in the foyer. If you've got any questions about your spiritual walk or about this church or anything of that nature, I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have. 2016 is here, and it's time to do some soul searching. We started last week on a journey together of looking deep within ourselves and doing some soul searching. Last week we looked at our past. If you're going to move forward in life, you got to make peace with your past. If you didn't get a chance to hear that sermon, part one in this series, I encourage you to get on our website and download the podcast and listen to that first lesson. You got to make peace with your past if you're going to move forward. But as we do some deep soul searching and look into ourselves to say, what am I going to do to move forward in life? All of us have something in mind. All of us make plans. They might be resolutions for the new year. They might be goals that we're setting or whatever the case may be. What are you thinking in terms of what you're going to do to move forward in life in this next year? Because now's the time to refocus, to re-engage, to reboot maybe your life in the direction that it's been going. When you think about the direction that your life is headed, you got to run your plays with His purpose. And that's what I want us to look at and think about today. A few weeks ago, actually now it's probably been a couple months ago, some kind person in this church gave Michelle and me some tickets, and we went to our first UT football game at Neyland Stadium. Very first time, after 6 years of living here, we finally made it up there and got to experience what some of you experience every time there's a home game. We got to see that amazing crowd in that huge stadium. And we had some really good seats way up high at the end zone where we could see the entire game being played out. Now, I've watched a few football games on television, not many, that's not a big thing for me, but I've watched a few football games on television, and on television, you're watching the game, and you have a view of the game that's real close up, and you can see exactly when the ball is snapped, and you can see what's taking place real close as the camera is right there at the action. And sometimes, of course, they do show shots of the game from a much larger view, but a lot of the game that's shown on television is real close. And what I was impressed with, when we were sitting up here, perched up at the top of the stadium, looking down on the game, what I was impressed with is the view. Not only the view of everybody in the stands that were cheering for their team to win, but I was impressed with the view that you could see the entire field and not only the play that's being executed right there at the ball being snapped, but you could see how every person on the team was running a specific play, and all of the movements of every player was designed to execute a specific play in that game for a specific purpose. And you could see the strategy. From that viewpoint, you could see the strategy of how everything was taking place for a grander purpose. Well, as I sat there, and Michelle is cheering for UT to win, and I'm sitting there covered up wishing that I was home by the fire, we kind of have role reversal a little bit there, but I was thinking in terms of God's viewpoint of our lives and how God can see everything that's taking place in my life, and He's got a bigger strategy in mind. He wants to get me to the end zone. He wants to get me to the goal line. He wants to see something great happen in my life. And sometimes I may not understand the individual plays that are being called. But if I'm on the field of my life trying to run all my own plays and I'm not listening to the calls being played, being called out from above, I may miss the entire strategy and the entire purpose of what God is trying to do in my life. So as we think about what we've got to do in the new year to kind of do some soul searching and say, what am I going to do to move forward? What I want us to think about this morning is, as you call the plays of your life, as you run the plays of your life on the field of your life, are you running your own plays? Or are you running your plays with His purpose? Are you following what the purpose of God is for your life? And so, as we think about that this morning, and we think about looking within ourselves and doing this deep soul searching, I think the reason that some of us have stalled in life, the reason some of us have kind of not made the kind of progress in our lives that we would want to make, is because we refuse to ask the really hard questions. We refuse to ask the really deep, introspective questions where we really examine our own hearts and examine our own lives and question whether or not we're just running our own plays, calling our own plays on the field, or are we really running the plays that He's calling for us from above? Well, we don't really like to do that kind of deep soul searching, but I tell you what, whether or not you're doing it right now or not in the beginning of a new year, I tell you one thing is for sure. God is doing it in your life. He is examining your life. He's searching your heart and He sees it all. Last week we looked at Psalm 139 further down in the psalm, but this morning I want us to look at the first six verses of Psalm 139 and listen to what David says. O Lord, You have examined my heart and You know everything about me. You see, sometimes we can live our lives in such a way that we are living in denial, or we're trying to escape from what the real situation is that's the barrier that's keeping us from moving forward. And we don't want to ask those real hard questions of deep examination about what am I really doing with my life? But one thing is sure, God knows everything and He is searching your heart. And He's looking deep within. Look what David says. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Every move you make, every step you take, everything you do in this life, God sees it all. He knows it all. He knows it whenever you're close to Him. He knows whenever you have ventured far away. But He examines it and He knows it. He says this, You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. See, God sees it all. He's doing that deep examination of your life and of mine, and nothing escapes His attention. Now, I like this verse a lot because this is the real crux of the matter. You go before me, this is reading from the New Living Translation, You go before me and You follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Now listen to what David is saying there. He's saying that God, as I'm executing the steps of my life, running the plays of my life, God is already in front of me. He's already there. He already sees the decisions I've made even before I make them. And at the same time, God is following me. He's before me and He's behind me. You see, when you really think about life, here's the real question. Who is in control of your life? A lot of us live our lives as if we're in control of it all. And so everything we're doing in our lives, we're ultimately at the steering wheel. Well, this verse shows us that whether or not you realize it, God is in control of everything. He goes before you and He follows you. Now, that's really hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? Because this is the mystery of how God is sovereign and in complete control of His entire creation. He's in complete control of your life. And at the same time, God has given you and me the gift of free will. And I'm not sure I understand how all that works. How that God could be in control of every choice I make, but at the same time, I'm freely making those choices, and really He's not determining what I do. I'm choosing it. How can both of those things be true at the same time? Well, I'm not sure that we can fully understand that. But I do know this. Both are true. And God stirs all that together. Listen to the next verse. David says it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. What is? The fact that God is ultimately in control, but at the same time, I have the freedom to choose. It's too wonderful for us to understand. It's beyond our comprehension. That God has an ultimate purpose for your life. That God is calling those plays from above, saying you should do this, and you should do that, and you should go here, and you should go there. God has this ultimate purpose, and at the same time, He gives you the freedom to as to whether or not you're going to accept that purpose or not. You can accept it or you can reject it. But this much is certain. Your life will be frustrated if you are running your own plays on the field of your life and ignoring the plays that are being called from above. If you are continuing to always be calling your own plays, calling your own shots, thinking you're in control, you're the master of your own destiny, you're going to take your life by the horns, you're going to do what you want to do, and you're not consulting with or listening to or being submissive to what God is saying is the real purpose of your life is going to constantly be frustrated, and you're not going to be able to move forward the way that you want to. The only way that you can move forward in your life is when you get to a place where you are accepting and adopting that the plays that you run, the choices that you make, you are voluntarily choosing to make them in alignment with God's purpose for your life. But the choice in that way is yours. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. For those of us that have had kids, you know how difficult sometimes it can be to try to get your kid to stay restrained in that car seat. Now, here's what's real funny about that. You can tell your child, "We're going to the zoo." And they can be so excited about going to the zoo, and they love it. It can be their favorite place on the planet to go. And you can say, "We're going to the zoo." But they'll still sometimes, even though knowing that you're going to the zoo, they will fight tooth and toenail, scream bloody murder when you try to put them in that car seat and buckle them down in the seat. Now, what's interesting is they see that, don't you see that when we do that, how childish that is? That what we're doing is we're actually fighting against the very purpose of the thing we ultimately want. And it's not just kids that do that. Are you running your plays with His purpose? Are you just out there on the field doing whatever you want to do? When I think of this concept, there's probably no one in the Bible that illustrates it any better than the life of Jacob. You see, Jacob is an example of somebody that was always fighting against the current of what God was trying to do in his life. God had promised his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham that his family would be blessed immensely. God is up here on the top with a bird's eye view saying, "Abraham, here's what I see for your life. Isaac, here's what's going to happen. Jacob, here's the way I'm going to bless your life." And he's calling those plays. And you know what Jacob's doing? He's down there on the field just running in every direction he wants to run. and wrestling with and fighting against God's purpose for his life. When we're first introduced to Jacob, he's already fighting it. He's fighting it in the womb. The first time we meet Jacob, he's still in the womb alongside of his twin brother Esau. And those two are wrestling even while in utero. They're fighting against one another. And when finally the two children are born, Esau emerges first, and second comes Jacob. But as Jacob comes out, he's got a hold of his brother's heel, trying to pull him back in so he can emerge first. And so his parents name him Jacob, which literally means heel grabber. He's the heel grabber. And you see it not just at his birth, but throughout his life, Jacob is doing everything under his power to run his own plays, to make his own ways. He will connive, he'll manipulate, he'll do everything to try to somehow control his situation. He's always grabbing at the heels, trying to control his own life and plan out his own purposes. And don't we do that too? Aren't we sometimes just like Jacob, always grabbing at the heels? Well, Jacob, trying to get the blessing from his brother Esau, deceives his father, has to ultimately run from his life against the wrath of his brother Esau, and he has to leave and go to a far country to his uncle Laban's house, where he spends the next 20 years. Finally, he gets to a place in his life where he's ready to come back and align his life with the purpose of God. And so he's making his way back home, going to try to reconcile with his brother Esau. And the night before he sees his brother Esau, he encamps in a place by himself. And in the middle of the night, he begins wrestling with a man. We see this in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. He begins wrestling with this person. And he wrestles all night long. And finally, this person that Jacob is wrestling against sees that he's not going to overtake Jacob, so he touches his hip and wounds him. And then finally we discover that the person that Jacob has been wrestling with is actually God. And God says, I'm changing your name from heel grabber, Jacob, and I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means God strives. You see, God had been striving with, wrestling with Jacob his entire life. God has been up here at the top of the stadium with the headgear on, yelling down to Jacob, saying, Jacob, you're going the wrong way. Go this way. Be blessed. Please, don't turn here. Turn there. And the whole time, Jacob's down here on the field, running his own plays, doing whatever he wants to do, and ignoring the calls from above. And he's been wrestling against God this whole time, resisting the plays that God is calling. You see, there's two different ways that you can choose to live your life. You can either choose to have your life motivated by your needs, or you can choose to live your life motivated by a grander purpose. Now, Jacob, much of his life, like you and me, was being motivated in his life. Everything he did, he was motivated by his needs. I need that blessing. And so he comes up with a plan along with his mother to deceive his father to get that blessing. He goes to Laban's house, and I need that woman, Rachel. And so he works 7 years only to be deceived himself by his father, Laban, to get Leah, her sister. And then he has to work 7 more years. He works 14 years because I need to be loved. You see how he's motivated by his needs. He ultimately does something somewhat deceptive to try to get the flocks of his uncle Laban, so because he needs to prosper. But we do the same thing, just like Jacob. We spend our lives being motivated by our needs, running all over the field, running our own plays, trying to get relational comfort, trying to get prosperity, trying to get the blessing. And while we're down there running ourselves to death on the field, In moments of deep soul searching, we realize that despite all of our hard work, nothing seems to be really coming together. Because all along we're being motivated by our needs instead of being motivated by a purpose. You see, if you're motivated by a purpose, then all your needs will be met. But if you're motivated by needs, not only will you not fulfill your purpose, but you won't really ultimately get the thing that you need the most anyway. Chasing needs, you'll still be thirsty. You'll still be hungry. It'll never be enough. It never will satisfy. But you see, if you're listening to the strategy being called from above, you may not understand every play that God calls, but you see, He can see the whole field. He can see the grander purpose. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You hear that? That's a grand purpose. Seek God's purpose. Run your plays by His purpose. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. What things? The needs that you have in life. You look in the context of Matthew 6, and He's talking about the clothing you wear, the food that you eat, all those necessities of life. So the question is, are you running your plays being motivated by your needs, running around making the decisions you want to make? Or are you running your plays according to His purpose? Well, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is, according to this verse, to advance His kingdom rule. To advance His kingdom rule in your heart and in your life and in the lives of other people. We saw last week also from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul says, "Now we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and to those who have been called according to His purpose." Don't miss that. See, I think we read this verse a lot of times as this make me feel good kind of verse. That, you know what, if I'm somewhat religious and I somewhat love God, then God's going to work it out for me. Well, listen to this. The promise of this verse is not given to everyone. The promise of this verse is not for everybody, but instead the promise of this verse is for those who love God, those that are committed to God, and are called according to His purpose. You see, is the calling of your life, the plays that you're running, are they being run by your purpose or by His purpose? Because last week when we saw that if you're going to make peace with your past, God can use the bitter and the sweet and He can mix it all together and make something great with it. That's true. But the only way that that happens is for those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. You look at the context of Romans 8 and look at verse 29 and you find that what God's purpose is to conform you to the image of His Son, to mold you and make you to be more holy, to be more kind, to be more Christ-like, to bear the fruits of the Spirit and be made into the image of God. See, the purpose of God in your life is to advance His kingdom rule in your heart and also to advance His kingdom rule in the lives of others. So you can really sum it down. What is God's purpose for your life? It's found in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. God's purpose for your life is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And His plan is that you not only have a heart that is being ruled by Him, that you love Him with everything that you have, and you let the love that you have for God pour out in your relationship with others, but then you're on a mission to go and make disciples of Jesus and share the kingdom rule of your heart with other people. This is God's purpose for your life and for mine. So, as we look at beginning a new year, It's time for you and me to do some deep soul searching. And I need to ask the question, and you need to ask the question. If I'm going to move forward, am I going to continue to just keep running all over the field trying to run my own plays? Or am I going to listen to the one who has a viewpoint from heaven and a strategy for my life that will result in the game-winning plan from a vantage point from above? You see, stop living your life just existing. Stop running all over your life trying to meet every need. And instead, start living your life with a purpose. That's the way that you move forward. This morning, as you begin a new year, you may be thinking to yourself, I really need to make some changes in my life where I'm just stop running myself ragged through life. And I need to start really getting in tune with listening to the voice of God and listening to the plays that He's calling for my life and living my life in alignment with His purpose. If we can help you with that, now's the chance. Let's all stand together. Jim's going to lead us in a song. We're going to sing this song together. And as we sing it, be thinking about your own life. And if there's anything that we can do to help you to get in alignment with God's purpose for your life, we'd love to have a Bible study with you. If you're ready to come to Christ in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, or if you need prayers, we'll have shepherds of the flock down front and some privately in the library. If you need any prayer requests, they'd be glad to help you. If we can help you, let's respond to Jesus in this new year as we sing together.